I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Has now spoken, and I think pretty loudly, pretty clearly, with every single Republican voting in favor of moving into this official impeachment inquiry phase of our constitutional duty to do oversight. So when a majority of the House goes on record in support of an official impeachment inquiry with the power that resides solely in the House of Representatives, this impeachment power, I think that sends a message. And as Chairman Comer just pointed out, we now think this helps us get the witnesses, the key witnesses that we want.
And they do have a lot of witnesses they want to appear before them. And, of course, one of them would be Hunter Biden, who showed up outside Congress yesterday but did not go inside for a closed-door hearing. We got a lot to cover just on this story. Now, I want to point out to you, as you were listening to Chairman Jordan of the Judiciary Committee, he's saying the House has spoken and it proves that the House is ready to move forward. It was a partisan vote. All GOP members voted to support for the impeachment inquiry. Does not say it's an impeachment yet, but to inquire, do we have evidence to move forward with an impeachment? But all Republicans supported it. 221, the Democrats 212. Now, already we're hearing from David Axelrod, who had previously served with the Obama administration and others. He said the Biden impeachment inquiry... According to David Axelrod, let me read his quote exactly here because it puts a lot of things in perspective, which is kind of, we were telling you back when you were doing this to Trump, you better watch out. This could come back and bite you in the butt. Well, Axelrod is now saying this is basically an impeachment inquiry on something the president's son did. Hunter is not president of the United States. And after 2 years of trying, they still haven't been able to make a link between Joe Biden and what Hunter Biden did. He's right to that point. But, of course, we haven't seen all the evidence. That's the whole idea of moving forward with the inquiry. And then Axelrod, former Obama advisor, now political commentator for CNN and NN, getting some big bucks. I think this is an ordered hit from Donald Trump. And, of course, they're raising right away, where's the crime for impeachment? Where's the crime for impeachment? They never raised that question, really, when it came to Trump. They just bullied forward, didn't they? We're going to break it down for you. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, December 14, 2023. This is the first hour, 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back, right here for you from 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. And, of course, reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble channels. You can find us almost anywhere. But if you miss us now, or you want to go back and pull something up, or you want to at least grab it so you can share it with someone else, you can always find it at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Audio or video of any program, LarryConnorsUSA.com. So let's go back to this impeachment to begin with. The Constitution basically states that an official, that would be anyone of the elected office, and now we're talking about this is an impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden, how he was involved in his son's dealings when he kept saying repeatedly during the campaign originally, I don't know nothing about nothing about nothing. And I don't know what you mean about my son Hunter getting money from this, what do you call it, China. It's that big, big country over there. But anyway, Biden and or Trump, which is what they were pushing, can be impeached for treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors. So obviously the Democrats are asking, where are the high crimes and misdemeanors? Where's the treason? Where's the bribery? That might all hinge upon what they can get out of Hunter Biden and additional. And I remind you again, this is based upon bank statements, not just comments, not just whistleblowers, but actual factual documents coming from the bank examiners. Now, Congressman Jordan says this moving forward with the official impeachment inquiry gives us an opportunity to bring in several and raise questions. One of them they want to question is the DOJ prosecutor Leslie Wolf, because according to the whistleblowers, Shapley and the other, they were basically being told by Leslie Wolf, there are certain things you cannot ask.
Leslie Wolf, according to Mr. Shapley, Mr. Ziegler is the lady who said, we're not going to look into campaign finance concerns that Mr. Shapley, Mr. Ziegler, and others of the investigative team thought should be examined. She's the one who said you can't use the term big guy when you do any interviews. You can't talk about political figure number one, who we all know was Joe Biden. So we want to ask her questions about all that, and maybe most importantly, why the investigation decided to let the tax years 2014-2015, when the bulk of the Burisma income was coming into Hunter Biden, why they let the statute of limitations lapse for those years. My theory is when you get into Burisma, you get to the White House. I mean, it's one thing to charge Hunter Biden on a gun charge in Delaware. That doesn't involve Joe Biden. But you get into Burisma, it does, because this is a Ukrainian energy company that paid Hunter Biden so much money. So we want to ask her some questions about that as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you've got the DOJ prosecutor telling investigators, you can't ask about who's the big guy. You can't ask about this. You can't ask about... They're being shackled from the beginning. That was the whole point of the whistleblowers coming forward. We were not allowed to carry out a standard routine investigation, not at the IRS level. And, of course, the FBI whistleblowers say the same thing, not at our level. And, of course, yesterday, Hunter Biden came to Capitol Hill, staying outside of Congress, standing outside, to cry and weep and talk about how unfair this is.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist. During my battle with addiction, my parents were there for me. They literally saved my life. They helped me in ways that I will never be able to repay. And of course, they would never expect me to. And in the depths of my addiction, I was extremely irresponsible with my finances. But to suggest that is grounds for an impeachment inquiry is beyond the absurd. It's shameless.
Shameless. Again, I am amazed that Hunter Biden knows the word shameless after everything he was pictured doing on his laptop with hookers and crack cocaine. But he's entitled to make the remark. The one part of his story I buy that I will say, I think he's probably right about this. Daddy didn't have anything to do with my artwork. He didn't do any of the paintings, the finger smudges, the whatever I did. He did nothing with that. I have no doubt he probably didn't. But all the rest of it, well, let's get some answers. That's all we're after, is get some answers. Now, big question that came up in the press conference yesterday to the White House spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, and that is, did the president know his son was going to stand out there and make those remarks?
The president was familiar with what Hunter was going to say today. He's proud of his son. He and the First Lady are proud of his son, how he's rebuilding his life back. He's going to focus on what is needed on the American people. Hunter, and I've said this many times, is a private citizen. And so certainly I would have to refer you to his representatives. I'm just not going to get into private conversations, because what you're asking me is actually a private conversation. I'm just not going to.
First briefing since Hunter was indicted again in Los Angeles. Why doesn't President Biden just pardon him?
President, I've been very clear. The president's not going to pardon his son.
That's Peter Ducey saying, why doesn't Biden just go ahead and pardon his son? I made it very clear. The president's not going to pardon. Well, I wonder if Hunter's been told that directly or not, or if it would change, like many other things have changed in this story of Hunter and Daddy and all the monies. Now, obviously, now we have the impeachment inquiry passed through. And House Oversight Chairman Comer says, we're ready to begin.
We've spent months in this investigation accumulating evidence. We have a simple question that I think an overwhelming majority of Americans have. What did the Bidens do to receive the tens of millions of dollars from our enemies around the world? Today's unanimous vote by our conference showed that we are united as a conference. We expect to have people honor our subpoenas. We want to wrap this investigation up, but obviously you get to the deposition phase before you wrap up an investigation. So that's where we are. We're very pleased with the vote today. I think that sent a message loud and clear to the White House. We expect you to comply with our information requests and our subpoenas.
Now, I want to stress to you again, as I did with Jordan, when Comer's speaking, he's talking about Republicans, only Republicans voted for the House to go forward with the impeachment inquiry officially. The vote, 221 Republicans against 212 Democrats. It's bipartisan. And you can say, well, that clearly shows it's all a political game, doesn't it? Well, Jim Jordan brings up something that kind of reminds us politics and dollars often get mixed up a little bit, a big bit.
The theory of this case is, I think it's an old story. You got a politician who does certain things, those actions benefit his family financially, and then there's an effort to conceal it. Yeah, I think the effort to cover it up and conceal it was, you know, the way David Weiss and Leslie Wolf handled this investigation. But if you really go back to the start, it's Hunter Biden's involvement with Burisma. I say this all the time, there are four fundamental facts here. Fact number one, Hunter Biden gets put on the board. Fact number two, he's not qualified to be on the board of Burisma, this Ukrainian energy company. He said so himself. Fact number three, the executives at Burisma asked Hunter Biden, weigh in with your father, help us with the pressure we are under from the prosecutor. Key fact number four is Joe Biden goes to Ukraine just 3 days after he gets that request and conditions the funding of Ukraine that's already been approved on the firing of that very prosecutor who's applying the pressure to the company that Hunter Biden sits on the board of. Those facts are, I think, clear as could be. And that is sort of the pattern. This is when it's all started. And then you have the actions, of course, with David Weiss and the Justice Department and how they left those key tax years out of any charging, even though Mr. Ziegler, Mr. Shapley, and the rest of the investigative team thought they should have been charged.
Yeah, dollars in politics. And you thought the oldest profession in the world was prostitution. Well, in a way it is, and in a way it might still be tied to this story, right? Of course. On the Israeli-Hamas front, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was asked to clarify what President Biden meant when he suggested Israel was carrying out indiscriminate bombing in Gaza.
The president speaks for American foreign policy. The president speaks and has spoken in about our concerns over civilian casualties in Gaza and about urging our Israeli counterparts to be more careful and more deliberate.
You just said he speaks for foreign policy, and he said yesterday that there were indiscriminate attacks, which to the rest of the world is a war crime. So why isn't the United States not saying that that's what
the president was speaking to his concerns about making sure we're seeing the results that Israel has claimed is their intent, which is to reduce civilian casualties. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and there's Jake Sullivan waffling a little bit because he can't really come out and say that direct that Biden says Israel is committing a war crime, which it would be. In the meantime, Trey Yangst for Fox News on the front line says the activity and the bombings continue.
We are getting some new information in right now from a spokesperson for Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, who just met with National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Gallant told Sullivan, quote, it will last more than several months, but we will win and we will destroy them. An indication this is going to be a long war for Israel and their operations on the ground in Gaza will go well into the new year. It comes as fierce battles rage on in the northern and southern part of Gaza. Another Israeli soldier was killed overnight, bringing the total to 116 since the ground operation began.
Now, 116 Israeli soldiers killed. I know for those who are all about PLO and Hamas, you're thinking that's not near enough. Look at the thousands killed, the thousands of Palestinians killed in the bombings of Gaza, even when they were trying to be, as we were told by the Israeli Defense Force, precision bombings, you're still going to have collateral damage because your enemy is hiding in the midst of civilians. It's as simple as that. And yes, there are untold thousands probably killed up and down the Gaza Strip because Hamas had been hiding under them. In the meantime, Israeli troops are reporting they've captured dozens of armed Hamas terrorists in that Gaza hospital. They came out holding their hands up, coming out of the hospital that they were trying to continue to hold. And Israel is now putting a $400,000 bounty on the head of the leader of Hamas. Do you not imagine some Palestinians, even Hamas members, may decide, and we told you yesterday how they're beginning to feud and fight among themselves, that one of those might decide, you know, I could use that $400,000. Why not? And, of course, the UN is trying again to step in the way of Israel and shut it down, and yesterday's vote shows exactly how they're trying to do it.
The United Nations voted overwhelmingly on a resolution to demand a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza.
The United States and Israel, however, were among 10 nations to vote against it. Meantime, President Biden is criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war. Yesterday, he warned Israel is losing international support because of its, quote, indiscriminate bombing in Gaza.
These were the strongest comments yet by President Biden about the situation in Gaza. And I think it shows growing discontent in Washington over the Israeli actions in Gaza. Just days ago, we heard from Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying that there was a gap between what the Israelis were saying in terms of trying to protect the civilian population in Gaza and the reality on the ground. And a week ago, Secretary of Defense Austin said that there was the risk that because the Israelis were killing so many Palestinians that they could turn this tactical victory in Gaza into a strategic defeat. So today we heard from the Israeli foreign minister who said that the war in Gaza is going to continue with or without international support.
As it should, because it's happening against Israel, not the entire world, so far. Now, you were listening then at the end, the basic comments added to that report were from a CBS reporter and quoting different sources as to what they say and think, which is all appropriate. And it is true that they're trying to tell Netanyahu, you guys might win the actual battle on the ground, but you're not going to win international support. They don't expect to get international support. We've already seen they're not going to get it. And they're certainly not going to get it at our Ivy Poison League class courses taught in our Ivy League Poison College universities, are they? Next hour, the House did pass the National Defense Authorization Act, already passed by the Senate. Many conservatives are angry for several reasons. We're going to break that down for you in the next hour, but right now this bill is headed to the White House for Biden's signature, and it will get his signature. And I'll tell you exactly why so many conservatives are very angry with this house, this bill being pushed through the House, as it were. And it also involves possibly your privacy. That's in the next hour. Coming up, Biden's open border policy is obviously concerning Americans of all political stripes. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows. But if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. your world cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets, ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our borders are a mess. And, you know, to say that it's not, and for any Democrat or anybody to say that it's not in jeopardy right now, we have to close our borders down. We've got to control the borders. And we have to change, basically, the asylum definition of what it takes to get in our country. We want to make sure that people can still come that are in desperate need, the legal way, but not the way they're coming illegally now. And that has to stop. So I believe that you're going to see some changes being made here very quickly, and I think it's more than appropriate to do it.
That is West Virginia Senator Manchin, listed as a Democrat. Mazzari announced he is going to step away at the end of this term. But he's speaking out on behalf of many Democrats who know this open border thing is not working. I'm not going to bother trying to go down the list of Democrats that I could say that they would acknowledge exactly what Manchin said. You can just look at the response. You can look at into the state of New York. Governor Hochul admitting this, we can't handle any more in our state. And, of course, the New York City mayor, a Democrat. Oh, well, we're over flooded. We can't handle them. And then you move over to Martha's Vineyard. Those 50 illegals that were shipped up there by DeSantis, flown in. Oh, my God, we're being overrun. 50. And they declared a humanitarian crisis. Get them out of here. And every summer, they host thousands in the Martha's Vineyard area. But they couldn't handle 50 illegals that came in courtesy of Governor DeSantis. But the threat of the open border is obviously very real. And we've been covering this repeatedly, and we're going to continue. Now, Joe Biden is still the favorite among Hispanic voters. But Trump is the front runner among Hispanic Republicans, and that number is growing. There's a new poll that shows from Univision showing Hispanic voters favor Joe Biden in the 2024 election 58% to 31%. Now, 58% is a very large number, obviously. But the fact that 31% of Hispanic voters don't like what Biden's been doing, that's kind of the canary in the coal mine, is it not? I'm looking at some of the additional reports coming out. In fact, first of all, from Wall Street Journal in its opinion column, saying, now the New Yorkers see the border crisis when they need Washington to foot the bill. They're talking about Andrew Cuomo laying out a thoughtful article, Migrants and the Urban Death Spiral. That was an op-ed he produced and presented December 12th. But they say they begin, they just, I don't have time for the whole article, but they go immediately they point out, he lays out a thoughtful article, Migrants and the Urban Death Spiral. And, of course, when they say migrants, they're talking about illegals. Illegals. They won't use that word, but that's who they're talking about. But saying that he lays out this thoughtful article but fails to recognize the genesis of the problem. Washington needs to secure the border, as it was posed by the Wall Street Journal. Now, with that in mind, let me turn to another source for you that is fighting back against that, and that's some of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, Congressional Progressive Caucus, all coming out with a show of force yesterday, and they're firing a warning shot across the bow of Joe Biden. Don't even think about turning back. And Biden right now, according to Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, he's being held hostage by the Looney Tunes of the left.
President Biden is in political trouble. His poll numbers are practically on the ocean floor. 70% of the American people think his first car was a chariot. At times his vice president talks like she's from outer space. Part of the reason that the president and his vice president are in trouble is the border. It's wide open. It's pretty easily fixed. Just stop people from coming in. Yeah. Duh. So you say, well, why won't the president do that? Because he is a captive of the loon wing of the Democratic Party. Not all Democrats believe in an open border. But the loons do, and unfortunately, many members of the White House staff that made policy with their pumpkin spice lattes and their man purses, they believe in open borders.
Do you have a man purse? As you might call it, a merce? Most poker player guys do. They say, it's a merce, it's not a purse. I keep all my money and battery chargers and things like that when I'm playing in tournaments, which can go for hours. But the point being made by the Louisiana senator is the loons continue to control Joe Biden. And here's another example that's coming up. Now, I will also remind you, there are many Democrats. They might even be in some of these same groups I'm going to list. But at the same time, they do not dare speak up. I mean, they could be canceled so fast. They could be out even faster than what we saw happen to the University of Pennsylvania president. That's how fast it could happen for them. But this piece says, reported by The Hill, which covers politics and it leans left, said Hispanic leaders are warning President Biden and Democrat leaders, step away from any border policy talks with Republicans, or you can risk losing political support ahead of the election year. That's the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus, all coming out in a show of support yesterday in force amid reports that the White House has officially joined Senate talks about pairing permanent changes to the border laws so they can get some more aid to Ukraine. And the Congressional Hispanic Caucus leader from California, wouldn't you know, says Republicans continue to hold funding for America's allies hostage at the expense of migrants and to pass Trump-era border policies, which seem to be really working well, did they not? And they're not migrants again, they're illegals. And the Trump-era border policies was, stay in Mexico. We do allow people to come in under asylum, but stay in Mexico until we adjudicate your case. But what this administration has done said, oh, you want to claim asylum? Okay. Here's a seat. We'll in 2, 3, maybe 4 years, we might need you to come back and discuss why you're here, if you can find them. And the Hispanic caucus leader went on to point out, Republicans are pitting vulnerable groups against each other to strong-arm policies that will exasperate chaos at the southern border. I don't know how that could make it any worse, but what they're saying, we are urging the Biden administration to say no, do not take the bait, do not get into talks with Republicans about anything that might be tied to border controls. And you got Senator Padilla, also in California, chair of the Senate Judiciary Immigration Subcommittee, saying what we hear is on the table in these quote-unquote negotiations, a return to Trump-era policies. It's not a fix. In fact, it'll make the problem worse. Would it really? How would it make it worse if you suddenly shut the border, closed it, and said you do not get in, you stay in Mexico until we process if you have a reason for asylum? If you stopped and shut down the border today, well, of course, as they say, the horse is already out of the barn. We've got illegals all over across this country, and we have very big suspicions about some of them, especially those who came out of China, military-age men suddenly showing up at our southern border. How do you think they got there? And then you've got some of the Mideastern nations being represented, which probably includes some of the terrorist organizations throughout the Mideast, and they're going to be inside our country. Can you really say you don't see there might be a threat to our national security? Of course you can't. Even if we'd had the border closed and it had remained that way all through Biden's administration, which it hasn't, we have, since he came in, 12, 14, 20, I don't, no one can give you a good number on how many illegals have come in. But even if they had not come in, we already had some that come in, have come in already previously anyway, before Trump began to push forward and remain in Mexico. We know, by fact, according to Border Patrol, they've caught several trying to come across the border that are on the no-fly list. You get put on the no-fly list because you're a possible terrorist. So you cannot fly from some Mideastern country or anywhere in Europe into our country if you're on a no-fly list, because we don't want the threat of terrorism in our backyard. Well, we've got it. And, of course, we see in Chicago while they're still trying to put up a tent city in a poor area of Chicago, the minority groups are the ones affected the worst and the most, and I've told you that repeatedly. It's going to put more crime into their backyard first, then they'll fan out into the other areas. And it's going to suck up the resources in their area. Reference schooling for their children. Reference policing for the community. Reference medical aid for the community. All of that gets sucked up by illegals. And in New York City, they were taking some folks that had gotten off the street to get them out of being homeless and putting them back out on the street so the illegals would have a place. And these NGOs, these non-government organizations, are collecting all of these bundles of money and saying, we're providing housing for them. And we have no way of accounting that's been presented so far to show exactly how they're using the money they're getting from the government to, quote, house illegals and where. This is one of the biggest massive grift programs since the COVID money dump. Coming up, speaking of money, Zelensky comes to D.C. and asks for more money. And Chuck Schumer says, give it to him.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President, she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
You're out down. Take you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President Zelensky's message was direct. Ukraine will win the war against Russia if more aid is approved. But his message, the contrary, was also true. If no more aid is approved, Putin will win. It's that simple.
I would say it's not that simple. It's actually simplistic to actually say that. The commander-in-chief of the armed services for Ukraine said about 2 weeks ago that he thinks things have come to a stalemate or to a standstill. We've given them more than their entire GDP. We're funding subsidies to their small businesses. We're paying their government salaries. We're paying their government pensions. And so if we were to give less or none at all, what does that mean to Europe? They can't convince Europe's only giving if we give. And the thing is, do they not have any resources of their own? And so there is a real question, where do we get the money? We have to borrow the money. So I'm not for sending any more over there.
That is Senator Rand Paul. I'm not for sending any more money to Ukraine. Did you hear the list of some of the things he was saying as to some of our money, how it's being spent, paying for pensions and some of their official government leadership? I thought we were providing help for the war. Well, of course, they could say, well, we had to take money from this to use for the war, so you're supplanting that, so you're still helping. Look at the beginning. No one wants the Soviets to advance any deeper, and we certainly don't want to be in a position where if they go into a NATO country, which Ukraine isn't, that we have to have boots on the ground, which we would have to do under our agreement with NATO nations. But you have to ask, and should ask, where's the money going and how's it being used? And it's just now that it's coming up that's pressing more. And Rand Paul saying, I'm not in favor of giving them more money. I'm not either. But at the same time, I am concerned because I've heard from enough experts that I believe that if we don't stop Russia here, we might well have to have boots on the ground in Poland or some NATO nation to take a defense stand there. But keep in mind, Zelensky has been doing some things in kind of a strange way. I'm going to break that down for you in more detail because Rand Paul said basically while he was doing an interview, he said, don't even get me started on Zelensky. And then he starts laying out some things that you'll hear in a moment. But one of the things being that Zelensky has also been down in Venezuela celebrating Maduro's the new leader of the country as if he needs to be down. What connection would he have? None. But down there celebrating with him, maybe he thought, if I come down and celebrate with you, you'll give me some money too. I have said in the beginning, and I don't want to really back off of it, praise Zelensky for staying with his people, not taking everything out of the treasury and leaving when the shells started firing. I want to believe that he is still standing for those same things, but the more he just continues to look for more money, he met with Biden and lawmakers, of course, pushing for more Ukraine aid. And I'm looking at some of the latest issues he's trying to bring up. Well, let me give it to you this way. Earlier Tuesday, Biden had announced an additional $200 million in drawdown funds for Kyiv. $200 million drew down. And then Zelensky went on to meet with U.S. lawmakers Tuesday. Here we are Thursday, and we haven't heard exactly what he got out of that, but we're definitely hearing that he's not going to get a lot. Now, this is the third visit to D.C. since the war began. Third visit. And again, looking for additional money, thinking that if I show up in person, that we will be there. Well, Biden has said we will support Ukraine as long as we can. As long as we can. That's almost like Larry Connors saying, so far. We're going to support you so far. But so far, we might have gone too far. Zelensky comes here and meets with Biden, knowing he's extremely sympathetic, and getting a lot of support from sympathetic members, and many of us are sympathetic to the people of Ukraine, what they're going through. Not so much sympathy for Israel and those who were killed on October 7, and not only a lack of sympathy, but an outcry of anger and calls for genocide of the Jews. Ukraine? Months ago, Biden vowed, we commit to Ukraine, and our commitment to Ukraine will not weaken. It is weakening, and it should, and it's going to be a big issue going forward in the election as well, because if the money is not being properly spent and used to what we do give them, and more importantly now, some conservatives are standing strong and saying, you're not going to get another dime until we get actual money to secure our border, the U.S. border. That is common sense, my friend. You want more illegals in the country? Are you opening up the doors to your house and say, come spend your nights here with me as you make your way to New York or wherever else you want to go? Anyone out there doing that? Anyone? Anyone? No, I don't think so. I told you Rand Paul has his view of Zelensky, although he did say, don't get me started. Well, we got him started.
He's banished opposition parties, he's canceled the elections, and actually certain religious figures have been prevented from convening their churches as well. So this is not a democracy we're talking about. We're talking about an autocracy where he is ruling without any evidence of a next election. No scheduled elections. Next year's presidential election has been canceled. So you think maybe one condition for aid ought to be that there's elections?
Yeah, wouldn't you think? If we're supporting, quote, a Democrat approach in Ukraine. Now, again, the questions about accountability coming from the House and Senate. According to GOP Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, he said Zelensky tried to assure us that no money would be used corruptly in Ukraine. First of all, the fact that you have to say that raises a big flag for me. And especially when we look at how Ukraine and the Biden administration have been working with Hunter along the way. Oh, there you go again, Larry. You're trying to tie Hunter Biden to Joe Biden, the president. Well, we know that Hunter Biden was getting money from a Ukrainian energy company. And we know that Daddy went over there with $1 billion in aid and told them you're not going to get any of the money unless you guys stop investigating Burisma, which is where my son is working or on the board or something of that nature, whatever, because I don't really know that much about it, but I know some he knew. And, of course, that was a direct extortion by Joe Biden, serving then as vice president, and telling them, if you do not fire that prosecutor that's looking into Burisma, you're not going to get a cent of the $1 billion. And you don't think I have the authority? Call up Obama. Call up Barack. Just ask him. Well, they quickly folded, got rid of the prosecutor, and got their $1 billion. So for Zelensky to say in front of these senators, you know, I want you to know that money will not be used in a corrupt fashion. Laugh track. We need a laugh track. Following the meeting, Zelensky in a social media post said, I thought our conversation was friendly and candid. And he thanked Senate Majority Leader Schumer, Minority Leader McConnell for their leadership in trying to get this meeting together. But some of the Republicans who attended the meeting say they were unmoved after the latest request and insist that Biden still needs to bargain. And the bargain at this point would be secure our border first. House Speaker Mike Johnson said after this 30-minute meeting he had in a one-on-one encounter with Zelensky, he said, the Biden administration's response to congressional Republican demands has been insufficient, reiterating his stance that a deal remains unlikely without a transformative change at the border. So Biden did release $200 million the other day in funding already approved by Congress. But, of course, he's here looking for $60 billion. And that's where many on the right, and I would say on the correct side as well, say no mas, no more money until we close our borders and have substantial effort by this administration to do so. All right, on another subject, San Francisco, you could say, is a clear poster child of homelessness in our nation. And in fact, one of the San Francisco elected idiots blames the homeless issue on capitalism. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Progressive mayor wants to be able to arrest people, but you think she's not progressive enough and she shouldn't be able to arrest people for doing drugs.
I think it's completely counterproductive to be arresting people
for doing drugs. Yes.
San Francisco Supervisor Dean Preston, a self-proclaimed Democratic socialist, is blaming capitalism for the city's homelessness and drug problems. In a new investigative documentary by the United Kingdom outlet Unheard, they spoke with Preston about what is occurring in the troubled neighborhood of Tenderloin, where open-air drug markets are often found.
I think what you're seeing in the Tenderloin is absolutely the result of capitalism and what happens in capitalism to the people at the bottom rungs.
Preston represents District 5, which covers embattled neighborhoods such as the Tenderloin, along with Japantown, Western Addition, and Haight Ashbury. Preston defended his position on defunding the police and calls to cut $100 million from the police budget. He attacked the city's recently implemented strategies to tackle drug problems, such as making on-spot arrests and policy pushed by San Francisco's Democratic mayor, London Breed.
So you can't arrest people for openly doing drugs. You can't move or clear away camps. I can't see how it's going to change. Surely it will just get worse and worse.
Well, and the thing is, it has gotten worse, right? Because the approach that we've taken is this very inconsistent as a city.
They are inconsistent as a city. The British voice was part of the UK outlet Unheard doing this documentary you were hearing in that report by the Washington Examiner. And the other voice was the San Francisco supervisor, Dean Preston, who oversees District 5, which is the Tenderloin District. Used to be a very nice area, San Francisco, not so much anymore. And according to the San Francisco Chronicle, nearly half of the city's homeless population lived in that district, at least in 2022. Maybe more now, maybe a little bit less. And you heard the distinction of the difference between San Francisco Supervisor Preston and even the progressive mayor, London Breed, who said, yeah, we should be able to arrest people on the streets for doing drugs. Oh, my God, a progressive suggested that. Well, the San Francisco supervisor said, you can't do that. That's not going to solve things. You don't think it solves something by arresting people? They are totally inconsistent. They're both lefties. And Breed finally acknowledging, yeah, we do need to have a police force. And yet Preston wants to cut $100 million from the budget of the police force. But then what he really comes down to saying, the biggest issue with the homelessness is, quote, absolutely the result of capitalism. And what happens in capitalism to people at the bottom rungs. He said the biggest driver why folks are on the street is because they lost their jobs, income, or were evicted from their homes, usually for not being able to pay the rent. So you have major landlords literally causing folks to lose their homes and real estate speculation, making it impossible for folks to find an affordable place to live. Now, some of what he said is understandable. Yeah, you lose your job and then you end up losing your home. You are homeless. You got to find something somewhere. But that's not really the whole issue. But to blame it on capitalism, well, that's a perfect Marxist answer. We don't want capitalism. We want to go back to the economy. Everybody be equal. I don't think he would like that either. Because everybody equal means he might also be on the street. And again, we have this situation. We have progressives decrying the need to be equal and take care of these people. And I looked all through this story. I don't see anything where he said, I will open up my house and let all the I can come into my house. No, I don't see anything here. I don't see anything where he says that I'm willing to open my house and shelter some of the homeless. Of course, you're not going to say anything like that for these people. By the way, there's an opinion piece in Politico, and this is a great title for this. The most powerful anti-Trump argument in the GOP has evaporated. Subtitle, with Biden's poll numbers plummeting, Trump's electability is not an issue anymore. So those who are inside the Republican Party thinking there's no way he can be elected, let me read a bit of this from Rich Lowry. He is the contributing writer for Politico and editor-in-chief of National Review, which is a conservative news and opinion publication. He writes, Joe Biden has done Donald Trump the enormous favor of collapsing before our eyes. As the 2024 GOP presidential race heads into the first contest, Biden's abysmal run of polling has boosted Trump and undercut his Republican opponents by hanging a neon sign on our politics reading, Trump can win. Oh, that's not going to sit well. That's going to make some peaks get really upset. Coming in the next hour, we'll tell you why some conservatives are very upset with the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act. And they have good reason to be upset. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.